This week, we're going to start talking about things related to Passover, things related to Pesach. You know, it's going to be here before we realize it, okay? It's just like, okay, we're preparing for Passover. Wait, when is that? Why is that tomorrow? You know, it seems like it happens that quick, but now is the time of preparation. Now are the times of things that we need to make sure we are preparing and what things that the Father is teaching us and understanding why some of these things. Now, we know that all of the Moedim, they point to Yeshua, and we know that the spring festivals all testify of the work of Yeshua when he came the first time. It's about redemption. It's about him coming and redeeming us and what he's done for us and how we're supposed to live. And all of these things are testified of in the spring festivals, even going into Shavuot. And in the fall, we talk about when he returns, when he comes back, you know, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and all about the end of times and the end of everything and dwelling with him forever and doing all these things. And so the festivals are very prophetic, but And nowadays, in kind of this day and age, when we're reading through the scripture, we have a tendency to kind of just make everything spiritual and nothing practical. And one of the things as we go through the scriptures, we need to understand, yes, there are very spiritual concepts and things the Father is teaching us, but there's also some things he literally wants us to do. You know, we can't just say everything is spiritual and we have no responsibilities as people set apart. If you're a holy people, you've got some things to do in this earth. Okay, so there are some things that he's called us to do in that, and Pesach is one of those examples. We say, well, if Passover is all about Yeshua, and if he fulfilled these things, why do I have to do anything? Because you're told to. That's kind of the bottom line of it. In relationship to the things of Passover, there are things that says these are eternal decrees. Now, I don't know about you, but my understanding of eternal means that it doesn't fade away. You know, it's not like something that's going to be like, oh, okay, well, it's not relevant anymore. No, it never ceases to be relevant. And so there are some things that we're going to learn in, as we're approaching the things of Pesach. Now, one of the reasons why I'm talking about leaven today, it's kind of seems a little out of order. It seemed like first you would talk about an over generalization of Passover and what it means to us, that kind of a thing. The reason why I'm starting with talking about leaven today, kind of first off, is because we need to be prepared. We need to be cleaning out the leaven. We need to be doing these things. And so it's best to give you this information earlier than later, right? You know, you don't want to be getting there and Passover is like tomorrow and you're like, I didn't realize that was leaven. You know, so it is my responsibility to help equip you to do these things, all right? So with that, I want to share some things regarding leaven and what we're told in the scripture. Now, in Matthew 16, we're told to beware of leaven. Now, what does it mean to beware of leaven? I mean, are we supposed to be scared of leaven? You know, someone going to chase us down with a loaf of bread and whack us over the head with it? I don't know. Nowadays, maybe. But, I mean, is this what he's telling us? Be scared of leaven. Be afraid of leaven. No, not at all. Not at all. But in Matthew 16, Yeshua said to beware of leaven, but he kind of tied it in with something else and what that leaven means. Okay, and as we go through this teaching, we're going to see some of these things unfold. And we're going to see, yes, there are some spiritual applications for us that he wants us to do in a very physical way. But there are some things that the Father wants to teach you. And he wants to teach us how to discern. Here's the thing. How do you learn how to discern? You can say, well, but the Spirit's going to teach me how to discern. And you're right. But how do you discern the Spirit you're listening to? See, so it all comes back to the Word. Because it is the Word that will teach us how to discern and how, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and we line that up with the Scripture. Does this line up? See, it's why we're even told in the Scripture, test the spirits, right? So we need to make sure we're discerning what the Father is telling us and putting on our heart, because there's a big difference between discernment and preference. Now think about that for a minute, let that sink in. There's a big difference between discernment and preference. Preference is the way we like to do things, the way we understand things, and that we're comfortable in our preference. The minute something's outside of our preference, we want to say that's not God. See, and it's like, you can't do that. That's not how you discern. That's just your preference. And if we are all different parts of the body, we have to be careful because the different parts will do things differently. Okay, so in the matter of Passover, he is teaching us not preferences, but he's teaching us how to discern. And if we're honest with ourselves, see, that's part of the issue. If we're honest with ourselves, we may learn something about ourselves. Okay, so let's jump into it. Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12, says, "Now when the disciples came to the other side of the sea, they had forgotten to take bread. And watch out, Yeshua said to them, and beware of the chametz of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, we didn't bring any bread. What does he mean, don't beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Knowing this, Yeshua said, you a little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves that you have no bread? See, he's saying, don't you know that I know you didn't bring bread? Right? He's using this as a teachable moment. How many of you parents have done the same with your children? Teachable moments. When they happen, you take advantage of them. You know, say, here's a teachable moment. I can use this so that they can understand something they may not have understood if this didn't happen. See, teachable moments. And the Father likes using teachable moments in our lives as well. Here's Yeshua using one as well. We go to verse 9. So you still don't get it? Don't you love how some of the scriptures is very plain? And how, I mean, when you really read how Yeshua was with his Talmidim, it's like, wow, it's real, you know? And he didn't speak in King James English, you know? It's amazing, right? So, okay, so don't you still get it? You remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets of leftovers you gathered? How about the 7 loaves and the 4,000, all the baskets of leftovers? He's like, if you think it was just hungry, don't you think I could really do something about it, right? Verse 11, so how is it that you don't understand? I wasn't talking to you about bread, but beware of the chametz of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood. He wasn't talking about the chametz of the bread, but talking about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, here's the thing. Yeshua said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's using this as a moment where they're at. So you got to understand what was happening right before this conversation. Okay, they were only getting the last half of this conversation. What was happening right before this conversation that he said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which could be their teaching, and it could be other things related to the teaching as well, like their mindset and how they approach these things, right? So what was happening right before this conversation? Let's back up and look at it. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. You know, when you read scripture, you got to keep it in context, right? Context is a big deal when you're wanting to understand scripture. Okay, so 16, 1 through 4. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test him, as they often did, and they said to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today because the sky is red and threatening. So you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And even an adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and he departed. So then they went into the boat and they went across and they went over there. So here he's saying, what were they doing? What was happening? They came to test him and he said, give us a sign so that we can know that you are who you say you are. Right? And what did Yeshua tell them? It is an evil and adulterous generation that seeks for a sign. Now, here's the thing, guys. There's nothing wrong with signs, wonders, miracles, these things that Yahweh said will be a mark of those who believe. But here's the thing. If that's where you're living, you got a problem. Because last I saw, I mean, these signs, miracles, these things were for those who didn't believe that they would come to believe. But yes, Yahweh takes care of his children as well, okay? So the idea is, I'm not going to believe unless you give me a sign. Is that faith? That's not faith at all, because it says, you know, oh, if you show me signs, then I'm going to believe. The problem is you can have people that can show up and give you the signs and they don't believe. So what are we to do? That's why in scripture we have the test for the prophets. Even those who come doing the signs, wonders, and the miracles, they say if they draw you away from the word that you've already been given, according to Deuteronomy 13, they're a false prophet. See, so it's not just about the signs. So are we just looking for the signs? Are we running from sign to sign to sign to sign? That's what he's getting at here. That's not how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to live our life, we walk by faith, not by sight. And this year's a good example of it too, because we have so many people freaking out about signs in the heavens. Yeshua said there's gonna be signs in the heavens. But he said, don't be dismayed at them, Jeremiah. You know, don't be scared or don't be like, oh my goodness, there's signs in the heavens. That's not a surprise. He said they would be there, so yeah. But we need to live as the word that he has given to us. We don't live by the signs. We live by his word. We live by his spirit that he's given us. We live in faith that he has given us in our hearts. Okay? And the same thing happens when we come to the issues of Passover as well. So the leaven is the teaching, but also the attitudes and these things that happen. So here, are we seeking the Father, or are we too concerned about the signs or the omens? Are we following Yahweh wholeheartedly, or are we looking for ways to reason ourselves out of obedience as well? Where it kind of works both ways. What do I mean by that? A lot of times we say, okay, well, this is what the word says, but I don't understand that, so I'm not going to do that. Again, that's not faith, okay? Because we don't understand something doesn't mean that God didn't say it. It doesn't mean that's not what we're supposed to do. So he said it, so we need to have faith. And again, that's how we live our life. And when we need to be obedient to him in the things that we don't understand, that's where we live by faith, okay? Because when we're submitting ourselves to the Father, that's where the blessing is going to be. And here's just another question. So when they were in Mitzrayim, and then he says, I'm going to come down there, and then so you have the lamb's blood that was put over the doorpost and the lintel of your homes, he says, then what's going to happen? The death angel is going to pass over that home, right? Which is not why we call it Passover, by the way. We'll get to that in the coming weeks. But he says that's what's going to happen. So was he really looking for the blood, or did, I mean, because it's like he's going to, okay, so Yahweh says, I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to start going through the city, and I'm going to say, okay, let me see, I'm not quite sure who's my people or not. Did he know? Of course he knew who was his. So it's not like he was looking for the blood as a mark of who was his and who wasn't. He was looking for the blood as a mark of obedience. Those who would submit themselves to the Father and do what he said, right? Again, it was a testimony because of their obedience. It was a testimony to those who didn't believe about the God that they served. So it was their obedience that testified about who God was. Again, more things going in there. But what we learn is that there are a lot of places in the scripture that Yahweh teaches us very physical, natural things, right? And spiritual lessons are combined together. Sometimes he'll teach us the spiritual lessons in a natural way. Again, it's kind of like those teachable moments. You know, Yahweh will use some things we understand so that we get the idea, you know, so that it clicks. You know, how many times have you read through the scriptures and then it just like you learned something this year that you were like, oh, that's what that means. That's how it's supposed to be. We're always supposed to have something revealed to us. We're always learning. We're always seeing new things we hadn't seen before because the word is alive and it's living. And if we're going through it, that's what's going to happen. Okay? But Yahweh is teaching us spiritual things in a physical way. So he's using us in hands-on kind of things to teach us spiritual ideas. So let's look at some of this. 1 Corinthians 15:44 to 46 says that it is sown a natural body, then raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit was first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Let me kind of paraphrase this. You were born, and then you were born again. Which came first, the natural or the spiritual? See, the natural, you were born, and then you were born again, right? He redeemed you, so then the spiritual, right? It's like this, we're learning the same way, okay? So we're learning in the natural, but he's teaching us the spiritual things in ways that we can see and understand. And it might not click until you go through it, okay? I don't know about you guys. Sometimes you could tell me how to do something, and I might understand it, but if I actually get to do it, I get a better handle on it. Okay, many people are the same way. If you actually do it, then you get a better understanding of it, right? So we're going through the process. Again, we often hear that I can do whatever I want and God knows my heart, right? Here's part of the problem. He does know your heart. That's why he says don't follow it. You know, Numbers 15, don't go following your heart, your eyes, the things, you know, he says to follow my word, keep my commandments, do these things, right? So he says the heart is a wicked and deceitful thing and be led astray. It doesn't have to be, but again, if we're unsubmitted to Yahweh, that we kind of leads us off into our own things. And we can kind of be ruled by our emotions and whatever we're feeling at the time. And that's not how we're going to discern, okay? You can't say, yeah, but God knows my heart, because a lot of times when people use this, it's actually an excuse to not do what he told us to do. Right? So again, Psalm 10:13 says, why do the wicked despise God and say in his heart, it won't be held against me? You know, well, I can do what I want because me and God, we got an understanding, right? No. So again, we submit to him and honor him in the midst of all these things. With that said, are we to observe the Seder? Yes. is let us observe the Seder, and as we do, we are discerning the body. When I say discerning the body, I mean discerning within ourselves, the things that are within us, why we do what we do, okay? And how we approach truly living for Him and how we're going to do all of these things. So let's take a look at this. First off, Passover, Pesach, is a sign of redemption. Remember, when Yahweh told Moshe, I want you to go to tell my people, I'm going to redeem you, I'm going to set you free, right? He said this was an act of redemption. And there are four different ways, you go back, you read the scripture in Exodus chapter 6, there are four different ways that are included in him saying he was going to redeem his people, okay? So he says this was an act of redemption. So the very first Pesach is actually in the process of redeeming Israel, bringing them out of Mitzrayim, redeeming them, bringing them to himself. The decision to observe Pesach had to be determined beforehand. True? Even then, the decision to observe had to be done beforehand. Why? Because on the 10th of the month, they were to take the lamb and bring it into their homes. They were to keep it there, and it was slaughtered between the 14th and the 15th, and the blood was to be applied, right? They couldn't decide around midnight on the 15th, I think I should do this now. Too late. Okay? Again, so the decision for obedience had to be made beforehand because there were preparations that were involved in this. Okay? There couldn't have been like a last minute observance by someone who wasn't prepared for it. And that comes down to the issues of the heart again. Are we going to approach in faith, drawing near, and doing the things that he's asked for us to do? And again, just for this reference, I'm showing you Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7, where he talks about how he's redeeming his people. You go back and you can read through there. You'll find four different things included in redemption there. So how did they observe Pesach? Well, take a look at this. On the 10th of the month, they were to choose a lamb without blemish. They were to keep it until the 14th, and it was slaughtered as evening of the 15th approaches. Scripture says literally between the evenings. So as the 14th is closing out and the evening is coming on for the next day for the 15th, so late afternoon on the 14th, okay? And then they had to place the blood on the side posts and the top parts of the door. Literally, the side posts of the door is called the mezuzah. Of the door, you know, like now we have like the little box that has the Shema in it that we attach to the doorpost. Literally, the post itself was called the mezuzah. Okay, that's what it's called. And so we put the box on the door because it's where it goes. It goes to the mezuzah. All right. Then you eat the lamb. How much of it? All of it. The lamb had to be completely eaten. And it was to be eaten with bitter herbs and with matzah. And it wasn't to be boiled. It was supposed to be roasted over fire. Anything left had to be burned and completely consumed. And then you had to eat it dressed, ready to leave. Because even though it took 430 years from the time Yahweh promised Abraham to this night, when this night came, it happened in one night. So consider that. When the time came for the people of Israel to be redeemed and to be brought out, it happened immediately. So be prepared, because when Yahweh says he's going to deliver you, he will deliver you, right? Okay, so we must prepare, much like Shabbat. If you don't prepare for Shabbat, Shabbat's not going to be a joy for you. Is this true? If you don't, like 6 days you work, and to do the things you got to do in the 6 days and get these things done so that when the seventh day comes, you can rest. You can joyfully enter into the Shabbat, and you're not thinking in your mind of all the unfinished things that you've left to do. And consider as well, even in the wilderness, they had manna. And then on the sixth day, they got the double amount of manna because they weren't to go out and collect it on the seventh, right? So if they did not go out and collect on the sixth day enough for the seventh day, guess what? They didn't have it. If they did not prepare in the 6 days to enter into the seventh, they could not enter into the seventh with joy. So we must prepare. We want a season of joy. We have to prepare our hearts. It's not something that just happens. We have to intently enter into what the Father's asking us to. He's calling us into his presence, and that's how we approach. Also, like the Shemitah years, right? The Shemitah years, the 6 years they work, they sow the fields, they do these things. In the seventh year, the land was to rest. And then they couldn't harvest or go out and run the plows and do all these things in the seventh year. But whatever grew of itself, they could have. But the decision to honor that time had to be done beforehand. Because if you say, in the 6 years, I'm going to honor the seventh, so when the seventh gets here, I'm not planting, I'm not doing these things. And Yahweh said, if you make that decision to do that, then he will give you what you need in the seventh year as a blessing to feed your family and all those around you. You'll have what you need. But as well as that, then he will give you the bumper crop of the following year until the time to plant again. So it's not just in the seventh year that you're going to have the food, but in the seventh year and going into the planting time of the eighth. But if you don't make that decision, consider this for a minute. If you go on and you plant in the Shemitah years and you lose that crop, now what do you got? But because of the obedience, Yahweh said that he would bless all the way up to that time. Okay? And even in the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish, they all had oil, only 5 of them had the flame. Or I'm sorry, other way around. They all had the flame, but only 5 had the oil. So what happens if you have a fire and no oil? That flame goes out. So you had to have the oil that caused that flame to burn continually, right? Okay. So preparing for Pesach, how do we do this? Well, what we do, get the leaven out. Okay, you got to get the leaven out. Okay, now consider this for a moment. Back in that time, it was so much easier to determine what had leaven. I mean, if the only thing you eat are things that you grow yourself, you know what has leaven in it, right? But if you rely on food that is processed, there's leaven in everything. There's stuff in there that you may not have even thought about. They put it in places where it doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. You know, it just does not make any sense. You're like, why is it in here? It doesn't make sense. Why is there yeast in this? Okay? But again, we're learning. And when it comes to a matter of discerning and what leaven represents, we'll get to that in a minute, but we know one thing leaven represents is sin, pride, arrogance, these things in our heart and in our lives. If we're saying it's teaching us how to do spiritual things in a physical way, if we're learning how to discern ourselves, if we're learning how to do these things, are we going to be faithful to do that? And we're searching every area? Or are we going to say, what about this area? Yeah, it's good enough and keep moving on. Are we really going to do that? And that's why I encourage people, when time comes for Passover, don't take anything for granted. Read everything. And listen to me very carefully. Not everything except for. Not everything but. No, read everything. Without exception. Because like I said, they're going to put things in there that you didn't know. And it's kind of like leaven sneaks in. And that's something we have to be aware of. That's how it happens in our life as well. Leaven sneaks in there. Things we may not have thought about it, to kind of introduce leaven into our lives, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a big old loaf of bread there. We're like, how did that happen? Who's got butter, right? All right. So get the leaven out, and they were selecting a lamb. Again, that's a picture of faithfully looking at yourself and repentance of your own leaven, and also looking over the lamb without blemish or defect, seeing it as acceptable for the purpose of Pesach. Again, that's the idea of we had a perfect sacrifice, we had a perfect offering, and it was testified to that it was without blemish. And so as we're looking within ourselves, we see blemishes, we see things. And as we're looking over the lamb, it's not just about inspecting the lamb, but as we're inspecting the lamb, we're also inspecting ourselves. Okay, so these things go together. So we approach with the right heart and be willing to observe. Not just being obedient, mind you, but the attitude in which we prepare. I heard someone say that being patient isn't just waiting. Being patient is your attitude while you're waiting. There's a difference. We can wait. And we can do something, but we can do it with the wrong heart. You know, here's a great example. You tell your kid, go clean the room. Do they do it? Joyfully. Why, yes, I will go clean my room, Father. Thank you for reminding me that I have not done that yet. No. Much like us, it's reminding, are we doing this with a joyful heart? Are we searching ourselves with gladness, with joy? Even when we're cleaning our homes and looking through the canvas and looking, even when it's like, okay, this can get a little tedious, are we doing it joyfully? Are we willing to inspect every area of our life and our heart and down in the corners that we haven't looked for in a year? Things we take for granted. Are we willing to inspect? Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. And that's what we're considering here. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. It says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know a little leaven, a little chametz, leavens the whole batch of dough? How many of you guys have done sourdough? I thought everybody did sourdough during COVID, right? Everybody learned. I think it was some kind of unwritten requirement, right? Well, how did you do that? You have what's called a starter, and you just mix that in with some other stuff, and it leavens the whole thing. That's this, okay? A little bit of leaven leavens the entire batch, leavens the whole thing. And this is what he's telling us. Verse 7, get rid of the old chametz. Get rid of the old leaven so that you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened for Messiah, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Verse 8, therefore, let us celebrate the feast. So here, Rav Shaul is telling us we are to celebrate the Passover. We are to celebrate it. The Seder is a way to celebrate it, okay? We're not commanded to have a Seder, but the Seder is a way to celebrate it, and it's a way of remembering it. We are told to remember it in the different instructions, okay? So that's how we do it. So we are to celebrate the feast. How? Not with the old chametz, not with the old leaven, which is the chametz of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, the matzah of sincerity and truth. Now he's teaching us that the leaven represents malice and wickedness and all these other things, sin. But to be unleavened means sincerity and truth. Again, being purified, walking in a new way, walking in new life. These are the things that we're instructed in. And Galatians 5:9 says a little chametz works its way through the whole batch of dough. Same thing we just read, right? So spiritually speaking, leaven is also equated with sin. It causes things to rise up, causes things to ferment, if something ferments, it's actually a process of decay, okay? It's something it's breaking down. It's causing something to puff up and to rise up. And we even use that terminology in reference to pride and anger and things like that, you know? So it's like, if you feel yourself getting angry, it's like our terminology, you can feel anger rising up within you, right? Or even pride and arrogance, it's that rising up. I mean, you can physically see someone when they're becoming prideful or arrogant, can't you? It's like their whole stature changes. It's no longer, you know, standing here and it's like, shoulders go back, nose goes up, right? And it's like, you can see it. It's just a matter of these are the things that the Father is teaching us. This is not how we're to be, okay? And so the leaven is a representation of these things as well. 1 John 1:7-10. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Again, the point of all this being repentance. When we are searching for the leaven, you're going to find leaven, and you're going to find it in places that you maybe didn't realize it was there. When you do, what do you do with it? See, that's the point. You know, when you discover something that's not right, what do you do with it? Do you get rid of it or you say, oh, that's interesting, let's put it back on the shelf, right? No, you get rid of it. So we are to remove the leaven before Pesach. Leaven is not to be eaten for 7 days, nor is it to be present in your dwelling. We do not consume leaven, and we are to consume matzah. Two things during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do not eat leaven, do eat matzah. How hard is that? You say, oh, well, that's pretty easy, right? Unless you stop to discern where there's leaven. And here's the thing, it's kind of funny as well. Every year, I can testify regarding me and my family, it's pretty much without fail. Every year, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you always find something you missed. And you swore you got it. You know you got it. And I think Yahweh is just kind of like letting us not see it. So that after the fact, he can say, oh, by the way, you missed a spot. I think he's playing tricks on us. not really. But the idea is this. We are to try and we are to do. We are to be obedient. But it's not just our observance that makes us righteous. It's him. He is the one who makes us righteous. He is the one who makes us holy. He is the one who sets us apart. But that doesn't mean we don't have any responsibility. But where we fail, he makes up the difference. He says he will meet you, right? That's where it says in writing John, he said, my desire is that you don't sin, but if you do, you have an advocate, Messiah Yeshua, who goes to the Father, right? So we do, realizing we try our best, but we're not going to be perfect. But he didn't ask you for perfection. He asked for your heart, and we give that to him, and he will do the rest of the work. All right, but we are to have an example. We are to do some things. So let's take a look. Exodus 12:14-20. This day is to be a memorial for you, and you are to keep it as a feast to Adonai. As a feast to whom? Adonai. If you go through Leviticus chapter 23, it talks about the Moedim, the feast, the festivals of Yahweh. Yahweh says these are my festivals, my feasts. They belong to Yahweh. So when you say, oh, it's a Jewish feast, no, it's a feast of Yahweh. Jewish people observe, but it's a feast that belongs to Yahweh. See, and so that kind of changes a little perspective on things. Because he says they're his. And if we're in covenant with him, then we're going to do the things he asks us to do. And if they're his, and these are things that he blesses, well, don't we want to be involved in the things that he says he blesses? Right? So again, though this is a memorial for you, you are to keep it as a feast to Adonai throughout your generations. You are to keep it as an eternal ordinance. 7 days, you are to eat matzah, but on the first day, you are to remove chametz from your houses. That means by the first day, you're going to have the leaven out of your homes. For whoever eats chametz from the first day till the seventh day, that soul will be cut off from Israel. The first day is to be a holy assembly for you as well as the seventh day. This is why not just our Seder, but then on the seventh day after, we also have a gathering as well. No manner of work is to be done on those days except what is to be eaten for every person. That alone may be prepared for you. Verse 17, you are to observe the Feast of Matzot, for on this very same day I have brought your ranks out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you are to observe this day throughout your generations as an eternal ordinance. During the first month, in the evening of the 14th day of the month, you are to eat matzot till the evening of the 21st day of the month. For 7 days, no chametz is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats chametz, that soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an outsider or one who was born in the land. You are to eat no chametz in all your houses. You are to eat matzah. Exodus 13, 6 and 7. 7 days you are to eat matzah. On the seventh day is to be a feast to Adonai. Matzah is to be eaten throughout the 7 days, and no chametz is to be eaten among you or within any of your borders. Exodus 23:15 says, keep the festival of matzah for 7 days as I ordered you. You are to eat matzah at the time determined in the month of Aviv, for it was in that month you left Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Exodus 34:18, keep the festival of matzah by eating matzah as I ordered you for 7 days during the month of Aviv, for it was in the month of Aviv that you came out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 16:3-8, you are not to eat any chametz with it for 7 days. You are to eat with matzah, the bread of affliction. You came out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thus you will remember the day you left the land of Egypt as long as you live. For 6 days you are to eat matzah. On the seventh day there is to be a solemn gathering for Adonai your God, and on it you are to do no work. So we find here, so for this period of time, for the 7 days, so we have Passover, then we have the 7 days of unleavened bread. You are to eat what? Question, what are you supposed to eat? Matzah. You are not to eat what? Leaven, chametz, okay? That's it. Now, he didn't say you are to eat matzah alone, okay? You're allowed to eat other stuff. Just make sure what you're eating does not have any leaven in it, right? So that's what we're looking at. So even in times of observance when Israel, like they left in the exile and then they came back and they returned, as part of their repentance and restoration, they would keep the festivals, right? Because that's what the Father had called us to do. Keep these times, observe these seasons, and do these things as eternal decrees. So throughout history, we see the people of Yahweh, they went through exiles and then they would return. When they returned, teshuvah, repentance, when they returned, what did they do? They learned to walk in his ways. When it says to return to him, when we repent, we learn what he says, right? We can't say, well, I repent and I'm going to follow you, Yahweh, except I don't. You know, when we repent, we serve him and he instructs us in his ways. So Deuteronomy 4:27-30 says, Adonai will scatter you among the people and you will be left few in number among the nations where Adonai will drive you. There you will serve man-made gods of wood and stone, which do not see, hear, eat, or smell. But from there you will seek Adonai your God, and you will find him when you seek with him with all your heart. And when you are in distress, and all these things have come on you in the latter days, you will return to Adonai your God and listen to his voice. Now keep this in mind. Verse 30, so when you are in distress and all these things come on you, we talked about the blessings and the curses of the covenant, all these things happen, when these things come on in the latter days. What are the latter days? Yeah, we're in them, right? In the latter days, in the last days, he says, you're going to go off, you're going to go into idolatry, you're going to do things, you're going to forget me, you're going to do your own thing, you're going to go off into idols, but when you return, when you repent, you're going to come back to me. Then you're going to listen to my voice, okay? We're going to Shema. We're going to hear his voice, and we're going to do the things that he's asked us to do. Now, we see an example in Ezra 6:19-22. So the people from the exile, they kept Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And for the Kohanim and the Levi'im had purified themselves together. All of them were pure. So they slaughtered the Pesach lambs for the people in the exile, for their kinsmen, for the Kohanim, and for themselves. The people of Israel who had returned from the exile and all those who had renounced the filthy practices of the nations living in the land. See this? This wasn't just the Jewish people that were here. This was Jews who returned to the land and those who renounced their practices of the nations as well. And it says, in order to seek Adonai, the God of Israel, ate the Passover lamb. So after the people repented, they kept Pesach. Verse 22, and they joyfully kept the Feast of Matzah for 7 days. For Adonai had filled them with joy by turning their heart and the heart of King Ashur toward them, and he assisted them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So in order to partake of the Passover, there was one requirement here. You had to be one of Yahweh's people. No stranger or no foreigner was to partake of Passover. It's not a matter of saying, okay, we're going to observe Pesach now, and then somebody going, gee, that smells pretty good. Can I have a plate? Who are you? I don't know you. Only the people who are set apart to Yahweh partake of the Passover. And that teaches something. People who are dedicated to the Father. Now, if they repent, they have a provision. Because the repentance is for whosoever will, guys. But you cannot be unrepentant, rebellious, and obstinate against Yahweh and partake of a holy thing. And that was one of the things that the Levi'im and the Kohanim, you know, the priests and the Levites, they were set to protect the sanctity of the holy things. And that's part of our responsibility as a holy people to protect the sanctity of the holy things. Passover is one of these things. In order to partake of Pesach, you had to affirm that you are in covenant with Yahweh. Look, Exodus 12, 18 and 19. So from the evening of the 14th day of the first month till the evening of the 21st day, you are to eat matzah. During the 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. Whoever eats food with chametz in it is to be cut off from the community of Israel. It doesn't matter whether he is, what, a foreigner or a citizen of the land. So who are these instructions regarding Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread for? Well, if we're dwelling among the community of Israel, we serve the God of Israel. Doesn't matter if you're naturally born descendant of Israel or someone who isn't dwelling along with the covenant people, okay? Chapter 12, verse 43. Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron, this is the regulation for the Pesach lamb. No foreigner is to eat of it. What does foreigner mean? Just someone from a different country? No, not really. Because then he would say no one from any of the other goyim, none of the other nations could partake. That's not what he said. He said no foreigners to partake. So foreigner would be someone who was an alien, someone who was strange toward the things of Yahweh, someone who ignored the things that Yahweh had said, someone who is disregarding the things that Yahweh had said, someone who doesn't take it to heart. Verse 44, if anyone has a slave or bought for money when you have circumcised him, what does the circumcision mean? Remember, the circumcision was not covenant. The circumcision was a sign of covenant, right? So the circumcision came after repentance and after the heart. So if someone circumcised him, in other words, now he has entered into covenant, now he may eat it. And neither the traveler or a hired servant may eat it. You know, a hired hand or someone I've just hired for just to help me out around the house or help me out around the area, whatever, just happens to be during the time of Passover. See? No. Who is to partake of Passover? People who are in covenant. That's who partakes of Passover. Verse 46, it is to be eaten how? In one house. That's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, when they were in Mitzrayim, and they had, I mean, remember, when they came out of Mitzrayim, men over the age of 20 to 50, 600, 3,550, that is one big house. Is that what it means? Now, in one aspect, one lamb was in one house, okay? But again, you can use one house in the larger aspect of the whole community of Israel as well. But when we had the one lamb, it was in the lamb of one house. And none of this lamb could be taken outside of the house. What does that tell you? That the provision was for the people who were in the house, family of Yahweh, the family among the people of Israel, among the community of the people of Israel. If they were unwilling to come in and be a member of the people of Israel, if they were unwilling to come in and be a holy people, to repent of their ways and to come in and serve Yahweh, why would they partake of Passover? So again, the whole community, the people of Israel, Kol Edat Yisrael Va'asu Oto. Kol Edat is each witness, every witness, every person. Remember, Ed is a witness. So the whole community, it's also the word for a community. So each community member of the people of Israel is to do that. Exodus 12:48, if a foreigner staying with you wants to observe the Passover, All those males must be circumcised. What does that mean? A show of covenant. Repentance. A show of covenant. Remember, Abraham, when Abraham was circumcised, it was also all the males in his entire household were circumcised as well. It wasn't the act of circumcision that was the covenant. It was the sign of a covenant that Yahweh had extended to him. So all of those who were in Abraham's household were also saved by faith. And so again, it was a matter of, I belong to Yahweh. I am his set apart person. And this is one of the ways I honor him. So if he is circumcised, so if he is a part of covenant, then he can take part and observe it, and he will be a citizen of the land, but no uncircumcised person is to eat it. What does that mean? No one who is not in covenant is to eat it, because then we would relegate a holy thing to common. It's not just a meal, it's an observance. Verse 49, the same teaching is to apply to the citizen and the foreigner living among you. Torah achat yihyeh. The Torah achat is one teaching. One Torah is to apply to you and to the citizen and the foreigner living among you. It's not like, so this is for you and all these other people don't have to worry about it. You know, God doesn't have two sets of instructions for different people. He has one word for one people, his people. Okay, and so that's when we come to him, we observe, and we do the things he's asked. By faith, we observe, we do these. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine your brother to make sure he's right. No. No. What does it say? Examine yourselves. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay? So if someone were to come to you and profess covenant with Yahweh, we can't say, no, you're not. That's for Yahweh to judge that. Now, granted, we can see some fruit of some things, but understand, we're also in different parts of our walk with everyone else, and you wouldn't want, okay, you're new to the faith, and you wouldn't want someone telling you that you don't believe because you don't line up with the way they think you should do things. We need to examine ourselves, okay? We need to give the grace to other people that we want given to us as well. So it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Yeshua is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. So again, as we are approaching the things Yahweh has asked us to do, it's an act of faith for us. And we are affirming that we will be obedient to the things that Yahweh has given to us. Even if we don't fully understand, we will do what he's asked us to do because it's simply what he's asked. This is what he's given for. So again, what was Yahweh looking for in Mitzrayim? Was he looking for the blood over the door to find out who was his people or not? No, he knew who were his people. He was looking for the blood for an act of obedience. And the blood was a sign to those who didn't believe that Yahweh passed over the homes of those who were his. Okay, again, a testimony of who Yahweh was and what he did for his people. Okay, with all of that, how do we prepare for Passover? Are we joyful or are we only concerned with ourselves? Are we looking for someone else to remove the leaven in our hearts? Let me put it in this context. Yeah, I know we're looking for leaven in the homes, but you know, you can do that. Are we all involved in the process? See? Looking for the leaven in your heart is not somebody else's responsibility. It's yours. And so when you're looking for the leaven in your home, are you going to let it be somebody else's responsibility? Or are you going to take responsibility for it and look yourself? And I think each person has that responsibility with them. Because you are responsible for your heart to Yahweh. Nobody else is. See? And so again, how do we look for leaven? Do we look for it in the same way? Are we willing to look ourselves? Okay, that's what we're getting at. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. So it says, first of all, when you come together as Messiah's community, I hear there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. For there must be factions among you, so that those among you who are tried and true may be evident. Therefore, when you meet together in the same place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for each one takes his own supper beforehand, and one goes hungry while another gets drunk. So when we talk about the Lord's Supper, these things, I mean, specifically, we're talking about the time of Passover. We're getting together and just honoring these times and these seasons. So how do we observe? How do we do these things? And what is our attitude in the midst of all this? And here, Rav Shaul is kind of talking to the Corinthians, kind of being real with them. He's like, wait a minute. You're gathering together for a feast, a joyous time, this great holiday, and you got this guy cutting in front of the line of everybody, filling five plates before this guy back here even has a chance to have one morsel of anything. That's wrong. And then we have the four cups of the wine, right? Well, you got that guy back there who's already drank all the wine for everybody, so nobody gets any. And he's already passed out over there, you know? It's like, what is our attitude in coming before to? And that's why when we come before, that's why we see in the scripture, when you come to discern these things, you discern yourself as you are coming to partake in these things. Because that's why it says, well, some you're eating and drinking judgment on yourself if you're not approaching in the right way. Okay, again, how do we approach with the right heart? How do we do these things? And we're helping to observe the community and looking out for one another in the midst of all of that. Verse 22. So what, it is certainly not that you don't have houses, is it? Or don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise God's community and try to humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I don't praise you in this. For I received from the Lord that also passed on to you, for that the Lord Yeshua, in the night he was betrayed, took matzah. Yes, it was matzah. And then he made the blessing, and then he had given thanks. He broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant for my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. Again, being an example of showing us to look out for one another and serving one another and helping one another and being a part of each other's life and being involved in the help. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the Lord's cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and then let him eat from the bread and drink from the cup. For the one who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and few have died. So if we were judging ourselves thoroughly, we wouldn't be coming under judgment. But when we are judged, we are being disciplined by the Lord so that we might not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, like if you just like, oh, I'm just so hungry, eat a snack at home before you come. That way you're not like taking somebody else's food, you know, kind of thing, right? And so that when you come together, when you meet, it's not going to lead to judgment, and the rest will be put in order when I come. And he said, there's a lot more I need to tell you, but I ain't got the room to write it right now. So all this comes down to this. As we're approaching, we need to discern ourselves and our attitudes and our hearts and our intentions. Are we doing what the Father asked us to do? Are we approaching in the right way? Are we looking out in our life, changing of our life, and looking out for one another as well? We see some of this. We talk about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, which you can see in Galatians 5, okay? How are we supposed to live our lives? Fruit of the Spirit is a great way to start. If we're walking in the Torah as a way of life, walking by his Spirit, by his presence, and we do not have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we're doing it wrong. If we're pursuing the Father, then the works, the fruit of the Spirit, these things will be evident in our life, and it will work in our life, and it will bloom and grow and blossom. Okay, so with all that, laying the foundation of all that just to get to this. What is leaven? And it's my standard disclaimer is this. I'm going to put some information in front of you, and I do not want you to take my word for it. I want you to examine it. I want you to look at it. I want you to study it. I want you to do it. Because here's the thing. You are accountable for how you observe. I'm not accountable for how you observe. You are. You are accountable for how you and your household discern what's going to be leaven, what's not leaven. Do you consider this leaven? Do you not consider this leaven? How you do these things? You're going to be held accountable for that, not me. So how do we approach these? Okay, I'm going to give you information. You do what you will with it. And I'm going to give you information, and don't get mad at me for giving you the information. Okay? Because it wasn't like this past couple years, guys, but the first few years of doing this, there was always somebody, and of course online, who always get into fights about what's considered leaven or what's not considered leaven. And it always came down to, look, you do what you want, but this is what it says. You know? So again, if you want to fight with me about it, don't bother. I'm not going to fight with you about it, but I'm going to give you the information. Okay, and it's up to you how you choose to do that. One example is what's called kitniot for Passover. Kitniot would be things like beans, corn, rice, things like that. Some consider leaven, some do not. You need to make that choice, okay? I'm not the one that needs to make that choice for you. You need to make that choice. So what is leaven, all right? Okay, so here's where we get into it. For the things of Passover and the things consumed during Passover and unleavened bread, it's not what it is necessarily. Because you can have two things that look identical, that say they're the same thing, but it's not made the same way. So it might have a different ingredient in it, or it might just be made differently. It's not just what is it, it's what's in it. Does that make sense? Here's one example. When you go to buy matzah for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you will notice that some boxes say kosher for Passover, and some right next to it just says kosher. What's the difference? And you're like, okay, so you pull it up and you look at it. What's in it? Wheat, water, in both of them. What's different? They're the same thing, but they're not. Why not? Because if it's made for Passover, it's processed different. If it's made for Passover, you know, here's the thing. You know, we talked about sourdough before. If you take the flour and the water and you just kind of mix it, you just let it sit there over a period of time, what's going to happen to it? It's going to ferment. It's going to bubble up. It's going to pull out of the air, and it's going to ferment itself just by mixing it together. So just by having the flour and the water mixed together. So here's the thing. If you have like matzah that's made for Passover, they strictly time how long that flour has come in contact with the water before it goes into the oven to make sure that it hasn't started the process of leavening. 18 minutes is their guideline, what they say. Who set the 18 minutes? I don't know, okay? But the idea is, can you do it faster? I can't, okay? So I'll take their expertise, all right? So that's what I'm getting at. It's not just a matter of, well, it's the same thing. It's not really, you know. Have you actually looked into it? It looks the same, but is it? See? So it's not just what is it, it's what's in it and how did it get that way. And again, put it in the context of learning the spiritual lessons physical ways. You have two people who do the exact same thing. Could even be something good, but maybe one is doing it out of obedience and another one is doing it out of obligation. Which one gets the blessing? See? They're doing the same thing, but they're doing it differently. And do we approach Passover that same way? Okay. So, is there chametz in the process? Remember Galatians 5:9? It only takes a little bit of chametz to leaven the whole thing. So what is a leavening agent? A leavening agent, it's a number of different substances used in doughs, batters. It causes a foaming action, causes a lightness off of the finished product. Anything that causes something to ferment or to sour, which I said before, is actually a process of decay. All right. So the more something rose, the more something soured, the more decay that was evident within it. And again, we see 1 Corinthians 8:1-2, where they say, knowledge does what? Puffs up, but love edifies. And if any man think he knows something, he doesn't know anything. All right. So again, so if we think we got it all figured out, that alone in itself is prideful and arrogant. And God's like, yeah, you don't. Right. So again, how do we approach these? So some thoughts for discernment as well. Remember, spiritual concepts learned physically. Do we know what we think we do? That's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? Do we know what we think we do? Or do we need to just walk the steps and let the Father reveal things to him, right? Okay, so chametz. As we go through these things as well, I had the Passover help guides that we had out here as well and online. If you wanted the Passover help guides online, just let me know you want them. I can send you the link to those. I've already had some people ask for them online just so you can obtain them. The idea is I want you to have what you need, not just help guides as far as recipes as well. Because like I said, the first year we did unleavened bread, it's like, okay, I eat matzah and what else? You know, bread and water. Am I in prison? Yeah. And then you got the whole thing called matzah bloat. You know, the matzah, it's this thin thing. By the time you eat it and drink something, you're like, you know. So what is it? Yeah, that's what we're getting at. Okay, so chametz is any food product made from wheat, barley, rye, oats, spelt, or their derivatives, which has leavened. You mix it together and it starts the fermentation process. Kind of guess it's leavened, okay? Flour from any of these five grains that comes in contact with water or moisture will leaven unless fully baked within 18 minutes. Now, here's something else. How do they process some of these things as well? Wheat or corn, do they soak it at all to soften the whole before they process it? If you take the wheat and you throw it in some water, what's it going to start to do? Again, just ideas and just thoughts, okay? If a food contains a trace of chametz, we don't eat it. We don't derive benefit from it, and we make sure not to have any of it in our possession for the days of Passover and unleavened bread. Food could contain traces of chametz if it was processed on the same equipment as chametz products. Thus, a product is certified kosher for Passover. Many consider it chametz if it's not. Think about this for a minute. Well, okay, it doesn't have leaven in it, but it was processed on a machine that had leaven right before it. That's okay, right? Why do you think they put up the allergen things in there? This is processed in the same factory that also has, because it could, like dust and particles could get over there. That's why, like I said, a lot of places when they make things for Passover, they'll shut everything down, they'll clean everything and ramp back up with the new stuff, just to avoid that, right? Other chametz, vinegar. Vinegar is re-fermented alcohol. Malt vinegar. So anything that says malt on it, you pretty much guarantees chametz. Malt vinegars are by definition chametz, as is any product containing malt made from fermented barley, wine, apple, and white. Distilled vinegars are usually fine for Pesach, but make sure you find the Passover symbol on it, because even white distilled vinegars can be made from wheat, which would make it what? Chametz. Wine, apple, and white distilled vinegars may contain additives that are chametz, may be made on equipment that also process chametz products, such as malt vinegars, and care taken to review all products that contain vinegar. Like, okay, there's no leaven in it, but it's made with vinegar? Well, what's vinegar? Again, you know, these are the things we're talking about. So, you know, are you observing these things? Are you looking at these things, right? How about this? Iodized salt. Iodized salt. It's made with dextrose. Again, dextrose would be considered chametz. Confectioner sugar, powdered artificial sweeteners contain cornstarch, which could be considered chametz. Products, you know, again, not Passover proof you're doing that. Again, look into these things and see, how are you going to observe this? Have you ever even seen the thing where you have like kosher Passover Coke? Kosher Passover Coca-Cola. What's the difference between regular Coca-Cola and the kosher Passover Coca-Cola? They use real sugar in the kosher Passover Coca-Cola, right? And they don't use corn syrup in it. So again, you look at it, and it's got, you know, on there, and it'll tell you, right? You even have people who are going out here who just don't want to have corn syrup, telling people to buy all the kosher for Passover Coca-Cola so you don't get any. It's funny, because Faith showed me that the other day. She was reading an article where someone was telling them that, hey, you don't want corn syrup, buy this kind of Coke. It's out right now. Go buy it all for the whole year. Stock up. And I'm like, no, I just want one bottle. You know? All right. Here's another one. Cheese. Oh, yeah, cheese. Everybody loves cheese, right? Well, guess what? All hard cheese and most soft cheese contain bacterial cultures. Hard cheese is coagulated via rennet, usually microbial. Nutrients used in the fermentation are also frequently not acceptable for Passover. Like blue cheese is an example. Blue cheese mold is grown on bread, as are many other enzymes and cultures. Passover-approved rennet and cultures are supplied exclusively with Passover-approved nutrients grown in kosher Passover environments and contain no non-Passover contents. So you can find cheese that says kosher for Passover. Again, these are looking at. Many cheese factories add vinegar to their cheese vats to balance the pH. And there's such a minute amount of it in there that they don't have to list it in the ingredients. You know, because it's considered trace amounts. So it doesn't have to be in the ingredients. So again, are we looking for certification on these things? And I'm going to say something. I'm going to be pastor here for a minute. If you can't do without it for a week, it's an idol. Seriously. If we have anything in our life that we're like, oh no, I can't go a week without it, I have to have it, it's an idol. Get rid of it. You know, even the doctors will tell you it's good to once a year do a yeast cleanse. I wonder where they got that idea from. The question comes down to, are we willing to just observe the way that Yahweh said? Are we willing to just do it? And for some of the things I'm making it easier, like I said, I wanted to put this out there as well. The seals and the hexers, the different things that you're looking for, The approvals you're hearing on one side, I have four Pesach, the other side, I have not four Pesach. Again, these are in the things that the papers that I have down here that you can gather. The difference is, it's not just kosher for Passover. So what does it look like? And then sometimes you won't see it anywhere on the English, but it will be written in Hebrew that it's kosher for Passover. So what does that look like? Again, I've got it over here so you can see. Okay, and you see over there with the yellow tab on the top, that's the Coca-Cola. It says Kasher LePesach in the Hebrew, but it doesn't have the kosher mark anywhere else on it. So again, maybe you got to look. You got to see what it says. Does it say it's kosher for Passover? Not just kosher for Passover. And if it doesn't say it's kosher for Passover, is it? You know, there are some things that don't need Passover certification, okay? So again, look into some things, do these things. I mean, here's an example. Fruit. It's just fruit. Now, if it's processed, you should look at it, because who knows what they added to it, right? But if it's just fruit, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So with all of that, it comes down to this. Are we willing to search within ourselves with a pure heart while not judging others? Like I said, when it comes down to it, each one of us are going to have to make our decisions how us and our households are going to observe. If you choose to observe in a different way or not consider something leaven that I consider leaven, how am I going to treat you? And I'm not going to treat you any different. You're the one that has to make that decision. But again, is it leaven or not? Or are we just not wanting to look at it? See? Things to keep in mind. Okay, leaven dough, chametz, it rises and it swells. It symbolizes pride, boastfulness. Matzah, it's thin and flat, suggesting meekness and humility. Chametz, arrogance, the very antithesis of the Torah. So what are we looking at? Do we look for leaven? Yes, but we do it spiritually and physically. Matthew 25:21, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And we observe by doing this with a thankful heart. Philippians 2:14-15 says, do, what's the next word? Everything. What's that word? Every. Without kvetching, arguing, moaning, grumbling, complaining. 40 years in the wilderness, y'all. Do everything without kvetching, arguing, groaning, mumbling, complaining. Why? So that you may be blameless and pure children of God, without defect, in the midst of a twisted and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the sky. You're supposed to shine. Let that light within you shine. So be thankful. If you find the leaven that you can get rid of, be thankful. Find the leaven, get rid of it. Because that's why it's being revealed to you. If you haven't stopped to think about this, as you get closer to the Moedim, why is it that seem like things always pop up in life the closer you get to the festival? Life gets a little harder for me. You know why? To reveal the things that are in there that you thought wasn't there. Now what do we do with it? Fix it. Repent. Fix it. And just give ourselves to the Father in the midst. Kind of like, it is 6 days you work and the seventh day is Shabbat. Okay, so are you entering into Shabbat with joy? Even in gathering together on Shabbat, you know? Why is it things, there's always construction on Shabbat, you know? Why are they blocking off random roads? There's nobody even on this road. What's going on? Right? How do we approach? Are we coming thankful to the Father in the midst of all this? And remember this. Also remember a time of thanksgiving as we call it. And that's part of the idea. That's what it's really talking about in Deuteronomy 16:16-17. When it says three times a year, all your males are to appear in the presence of Adonai your God in the place that he will choose, the festival of Matzah, the festival of Shavuot, the festival of Sukkot. They are not to show up before me empty-handed, but every man is to give what he can in accordance with the blessing Adonai your God has given you. What he's really talking about is just presenting yourself before the Father. In the Shlish Regalim, the three-foot festivals where all were going to Jerusalem, they came and they brought their offerings and their gifts to the king so that when they would come before him, they could have that joy in honoring and worshiping and serving before him in those places. That's just the idea, guys. When we come before our king, do we come before him completely empty-handed, or do we come before him even to try to see what we have to get from him? Or do we come before him just to honor him, just to be with him, just to love him and say, I'm here to give, because he's already given everything we need to us. You know, he laid his life down for us. Yeshua laid his life down for us. And so, you know, are we willing to lay our life down for him? That's what we're talking about. So as we come before him, even on Shabbat, as we come before him, are we laying our life down to honor him and worship him? And so as we approach the Moedim in these times and these seasons, again, coming into Passover, are we honoring him in even the searching for the leaven and honoring him in these festivals? Let us truly be ones to give glory and honor. While the world is producing more and more leaven, let us be ones to get the leaven out and observe. As Rav Shaul said, let us observe, not with malice. Let's do it with joy. Amen.